This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Busy day out there for your Boston Red Sox. More proof that baseball, Keefe, is in fact not boring.
Never is.
Red Sox get Alex Bregman, 3 years, $120 million, bunch of deferred money, opt-outs after years one and two. For more on all of it, we welcome him, Rob Bradford, WEEI and the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, which you can find on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Get it on your phone. Listen to Rob there. Rob Bradford, welcome to Jones and Keefe. How you doing?
McFarland, my friends, McFarland.
McFarland to you.
Yeah, yes. Everyone yell McFarland, yes. So it's a great day to yell McFarland, and also yay baseball. We finally have something. I told you on after Juan Soto day that this was going to be the guy that they target, and through the roller coaster ride, sure enough, we landed with Alex Bregman. So there you go. I told you.
Okay.
Wow, in our face.
Did you have seriously, egg all over our faces.
In your face.
Are the reports, Bradfoe, about him playing second base, is that accurate? Because that's, if me and Keith, who I'll tell you right now, both love this deal. I've been wanting him to sign Bregman since early in free agency. I guess, in retrospect, I'm okay waiting, and that it took so long, even though I was annoyed in the meantime. But my real nitpicking gripe is him at second base instead of third. Is that accurate, and why are they doing that, if so?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that when we first started talking about it, we've talked about the nine boxes that it checks off, and I think second base, bizarrely, is one of them, because, yes, he wasn't a second baseman, and yes, you're keeping Rafael Devers at third base, but he was a college shortstop. Everybody believes, he can be a really, really good second baseman. I don't think there's any question that he's going to upgrade defensively at second base, but it's a legitimate thing, and something that we've talked about with Devers, that you're giving Devers another kick at the can here at third base. But I do think this is how it's going to play out, where you have this guy for 3 years, unless he insanely opts out of a $40 million a year contract. And you go through this year, you say to Devers, all right, you have Trevor Story at shortstop, be better. Be better defensively. You keep saying you're going to be, all right, be better defensively. And if you aren't, then next year, you move Bregman over to third. You put one of these kids at second baseman who are Christian Campbell or Marcelo Meyer, and you do whatever with Devers, DH, or you do something with Cassis. And I think that is one of the many reasons why I think a lot of this made sense to me. And so I hope I answered your question, but I get, you know, the whole thing, okay, why are you keeping Devers at third? Well, you know, they were always going to prioritize giving him another shot there.
How good does this make the team? Like, playoffs for sure? Can they win the division? Like, what are we talking about now?
Yeah, man. Like, I said this, that it just feels to me, there hasn't been a lot of free agents where it wasn't a luxury item. Like, this isn't Jordan Montgomery. This isn't one of these guys who, yeah, you like the idea of signing him because it shows you're in the big boy club. Yeah, it does that. But what to me it does, it's a very real fit because of the position he's going to play, because of the offensive player that he is, because of the presence he's going to have in that clubhouse, which I do think they need. You need some 30-something guys who sort of are the voice in the clubhouse. And also, guys, let's be honest. I mean, it's good for business for the Red Sox, which I didn't understand all along why they weren't seeing something like this. It changes the narrative. You start with the crochet thing, but that was almost like the supersize me guy eating a Big Mac, feeling good for 50 minutes, and then like lounging on his couch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what it felt like with the crochet thing. Everyone was like, oh, that's great, that's great. And then, okay, when are you going to sign somebody and spend some money? But here you are. You're paying a guy $40 million a year or whatever, $30 million with deferred. You're allocating resources. You're showing people that you actually care in terms of being part of the big boys club in Major League Baseball. And by the way, the American League isn't very good. So all of a sudden, you have to be considered with the Yankees as the two favorites, I think, in the American League. All of that is really good for business.
You were talking about Morgan Spurlock.
Spurlock.
He's dead.
You know the scene that I was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Where he was off the walls after eating his McDonald's, and then 50 minutes later, he's like in a food coma. Yeah.
Well, now he's in a food coma in the sky because
sadly
passed last
year. I want to go there. Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
For telling
you brought him up, Rob.
Before I forget, one of my favorite segments that you guys do is obviously baseball related. The random baseball player of the day, right? Yeah. I love it.
I was just gonna go here, Bradfo, with a Morgan. I thought I was gonna say Morgan Ensberg, maybe a random baseball player of the day, Morgan Ensberg.
Oh, Morgan Burkhart.
Morgan Burkhart, great one.
Yeah, which by the way, one executive said his best tool is a fork. So which I always thought was great.
Same with Morgan Spurlock.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I do think an exercise we can do going through spring training is the random spring training invitee on the Red Sox clubhouse.
Oh.
Because you walk in there and I can start. We can do this at the end or whatever, but I can give you one and you guys can guess who it is.
We got to guess a guy on the Red Sox roster? We're not going to get that. The 40th guy on the roster?
Well, this is bizarre. You know, when you walk in the spring training clubhouse right now, it's a trillion people. And half of them, half of them you don't know. This is the first time, bizarrely, since I've been coming here, that usually they have the position players on the left and the pitchers on the right. Now the pitchers have leaked into the left, and that tells you there's
I'm
a
sorry.
Crap load of pitchers here.
Wow.
Sorry. There you go.
A lot of pitchers.
Save that one, Renee.
Yeah.
So they're leaking all over the clubhouse.
Red Sox pitchers leaking to the left.
This is another issue that they're going to have for sure. What pushed this over the finish line? I heard Breslow say yesterday or the day prior, yeah, it takes two to tango on these deals. Somebody ultimately has to give. What pushed this over the finish line?
Yeah, so what I had been hearing, when let's go back a couple of weeks. The Houston Astros, there's reports that come out, hey, the six-year deal's on the table. He won 6 years. He likes Houston. Altuve is like, there's these grainy footages of him, of Altuve in the outfield working out. So you're like, oh, he's going back to Houston. And then you don't hear anything. And that was weird. So then what I heard was the Red Sox, yeah, they obviously were in it, but they were in it with the money, but not the year. So you're waiting for a team, are they going to step up for the years? And you heard, well, maybe Toronto will do it. Detroit really, really wanted him. But those are two places I don't think he wanted to go. And I think the Red Sox knew that, and the Red Sox were banking on that. Then you get to the Cubs, where he probably wouldn't mind going, but ultimately they're financially more strained than the Red Sox. So they offer basically the same thing, but with not as much for annual value one more year. So the Red Sox played the market right, I think, all along. It was a little bit of a risk that he wasn't going to go to Detroit, but I don't think he wanted to go to Detroit. Man, that's what it comes down to. And with the Houston thing, I don't have any proof of this, but I've seen it happen before, where sometimes teams, when they have iconic players or players they like, and they're struggling in the free agent market, they leak it out. They said, hey, you know what? Yeah, sure, we're interested. Sure, we're interested. But is it a real offer? I don't know. So I think the Red Sox, this is why this fell to them, and good for them for understanding the market.
Question Jones has been asking this morning, do you think they're done, or is this the could they possibly add somebody before things get going?
No, I think this is pretty much it. I mean, I might be wrong, but in terms of looking at what else they have, I will say this. I'll take that back. They still probably are looking for a reliever. Now, Breslow said on the Baseballs and Boring show on the weekend, he said, though that guy doesn't necessarily have to have closing experience. So there's guys like David Robertson out there, Kyle Finnegan out there. So you're probably still going to get a relief pitcher who can pitch late in games, but that I think is the last sort of piece of the puzzle.
Do you think this represents a shift in the way the Red Sox are doing business going forward. Like, I agree with you. I think they're a better team. Maybe they're the best team in the division with the Yankees. So I agree with all that, and this is a Red Sox are back kind of move for this year. Are they back to doing business the way they used to, or is this a one-off?
No, I think that they are, but this comes back to how frustrating it's been, because the ownership, as we've articulated before, they seem to be chasing their tail way too many times, going back to, oh, we didn't get Jose Abreu, this next, get the next best Cuban guy, who's Nick Castillo, you know, that sort of thing. Oh, we lose John Lester, let's pay $40 million and more than anyone else in David Price. Oh, we like the way Tampa does things, let's go hire someone from Tampa and Heim Bloom. Like, that sort of thing. And now I think they just reached the point where they understood, like, if for business to exist in this world of baseball, you have to do this. Like, you have to do this. In Boston, you guys know. You do this show all the time. You get the pulse of what's going on. You know the way it was trending, even after the Crochet deal. So I do think that they, with this, allocating this much many resources to this one guy tells you, yes, this is a new philosophy. This is a new way of doing things, and it's the right way of doing things. Let's be honest, because you shouldn't be relying on these prospects, no matter how high they're ranked.
Talk yesterday about a six-man rotation. Is that just something you say right now as the guys show up and you have six guys that really think they should be in the rotation and then you whittle that down when the season starts? Or could they legitimately go through the year with a six-man rotation?
I think it's a nice like talking point for spring training. But then when you get into the season, you figure out the schedule, how many off days there are, who's hurt, who needs time. You know, yeah, there might be time where you have a six-man rotation, and they obviously have six starters. But I love the overreaction to spring training stuff, like whether it's six-man rotation stuff, you know, the Jackie Bradley spring training where he's hitting 800 and makes the team. There's always a guy, right? Mm-hmm. Which is one of the great things about this. Every year we say we're not going to get sucked in, and we always get sucked in. And look, Sadon Rafael last year, you know, oh my goodness, he's going to be an all-star. Well, okay, he was okay, but he wasn't as good as he was when hitting 85-mile-an-hour straight balls in spring training. So, yeah, so I think six-man rotation sort of falls under that.
Okay, he's Rob Bradford. You can check him out, weei.com. You can check him out on the Odyssey app, Baseball Isn't Boring, podcast there. Talk to Garrett Crochet about his extensive dreaming of Alex Bregman.
Yeah, that was deep.
Oh, what a story that is.
It really.
Yeah, go listen to that.
It really was. Yeah. We played a clip from it earlier today. You can go seek that out. And Bradfo, what do you say next week? We'll start our random spring training invitee of the week. Is that what we're doing?
That's going to be tough.
Okay. I'm going to give you a whole week to think about. I'll give you this player is in the Red Sox clubhouse right now, and he has a record for hitting the most batsmen. In a single year.
The most
so,
hit batsman in a single year. All right,
Aroldis Chapman.
No, good guess. Good guess. Good effort. Good
okay.
effort.
Thank you. All right, we'll Google that between now and next week. Bradfo, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. I'll see you guys. Thanks.
All right, Rob Bradford as all our guests joining us here on WEEI.